praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. I have promised to never leave you, never forsake you. Yea, no, never, no, never. For I am the Lord that loves you and has committed myself to you and has given my son to you. And even when the days grow cold and the nights grow dark, I will not leave you. I will guide you with my light. I will fill you with my life, and death will not touch you, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You say, Brother Venable, we're all going to die. Well, there's a different way of looking at that. The Bible said that he that believeth in me has everlasting life. Life just continues on. Someone said death is not a period, but a comma in the life of a believer. Can you say amen? It doesn't mean something's over, it's finished. It means it just there's a little change that happens. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Everybody say present with the Lord. Amen. We're glad you're here today. It feels like West Virginia weather. Amen. Just a little bit. Only it's probably going to snow. It may snow at your house today. It's going to snow in Alabama. That's incredible. And about 15 inches maybe in Boston and 5 inches in D.C. So they're getting another last breath of winter. I don't know if the little groundhog was right this year. Did he? I don't know what he said about it. But anyway, this kind of an unexpected snowstorm and tornadoes. There was two churches damaged in Alabama. But God is good, and he's given us grace and mercy. Yeah, let's stretch your hand this way. Let's pray that God will open up her lungs right now in the name of Jesus for an asthma attack. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let your grace, let your mercy, let your love, and let your power flow to this young woman right now. Lord, I speak to these lungs, and I declare them to be open in the name of Jesus and for the pressure and the pain to go. And for the breathing to come normal. Lord, we speak to this mountain and we tell it to move. And we doubt not because we know our God acts upon it through the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I thank you such as freely I've received and freely I give today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Just breathe nice and easy and deep and let the good air fill your lungs right now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. That's going to pass. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. We serve a gracious and good, loving and caring God today. Hallelujah. How many times have we watched him? She's probably somewhere around the age when God healed me of something far greater than asthma. Amen. And we're just so grateful to the Lord. We've had sickle cell anemia healed in here. We've had cancer healed in here. We've seen God move so wonderfully and mightily. Praise the Lord. All because of what Jesus did for us at the cross and what we're about to celebrate this morning. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you. We love you. We give you the praise and the honor. We thank you for the amazing grace that is upon us all today. And Lord, when the need arises, we thank you that he giveth more grace. And Father, we thank you for sufficient grace, Lord, that provides for our healing and our help in the time of any need. We come boldly before the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and grace to help us in the time of need. Father, we just praise you. Hallelujah, for being there for each and every one of us. And everyone said amen and amen. I'm so glad that we can call upon the Lord today. Amen. If you have a body that is functioning, give God great honor and glory for that. Amen. There's so many people with diabetes and with asthma and with lung problems and with heart issues and with health problems that can just devastate. And we're just grateful to be here today. I don't know why anyone wouldn't want to be in God's house this morning, give God all the glory if they understand, amen, the goodness of the Lord and the greatness of our wonderful God. We're going to receive communion in a little while this morning. We're glad that you're here on a blustery day. And God has moved. Last Sunday, Sunday morning and Sunday night were so very special to me personally, because God gave me some tremendous insights and encouraged my heart to believe Him for greater things this year than I've ever believed Him for in all of my life and ministry. That's why I believe this is going to be a great year. Not because we don't have mountainous problems to face nationally, globally, and personally, but because we have a greater God than all of these things. Can you say amen? Amen. We have a greater one. And that greater one lives in us through the Holy Spirit. That's the incredible thing. He's not just above us. He lives within us. And by virtue of being within us, He keeps the promise to never leave us nor forsake us. If you feel God forsaken, it's a feeling, not a fact. Amen. Can you say amen? And feeling, how many know feelings come and go? Sometimes I feel great. Sometimes, to be honest with you, I don't feel so great. There are people on TV act like they feel great all the time. They have a private life that is not before cameras. Amen. I might be able to hold it together for 1 hour before a camera consistently. Amen. But 24/7 is something else again. Amen. And you ask the husband or the wife of these people, and they will tell you that they're real people just like you. And sometimes they get up on the wrong side of the bed. Amen. There was a lady preaching on television and teaching on television, and she said that her family would complain about her taking time to pray and not spending, you know, talking with them enough. And, you know, they just kind of criticized her for always going first thing to a prayer place and praying before starting her day, because something they wanted to ask her, she didn't want to be disturbed. And they were complaining about that, teenage kids. And of course, she turned to them and said, "You'd better let me go pray." Amen. If you know what's good for you, give me my time in there and I'll be a lot better to you. But anyway, she was honest about the fact, if I don't get along with Jesus, you're going to pay for it. So encourage me to go in that room. That's where I sweeten up. But anyway, that she didn't say it in those words, but I knew what she meant. Praise God. God is so good today. I want to thank you for your giving, your faithfulness. A few have done wonderful things with God's blessing and help. We are here incredibly and supernaturally. We are not here through some effort on our own except to look. We actually stopped looking. We let everything go and put it squarely in the hands of the Lord, because we did look. We did everything we knew to find a place to move to from the Embassy Suites, University of South Florida campus, and this dear brother here and others that would help him unload and load would go and pick up stuff early on Sunday morning and haul a trailer full of sound equipment to Embassy Suites, set it all up. We'd minister for an hour and a half, take it all down and haul it all back. That's not fun. That makes your Sunday work. Amen. Your ox is in the ditch every Sunday in those circumstances. I remember when they would preempt our service and not let us know ahead of time, we'd be kind of panic-stricken looking for some alternative place because they had a convention coming. And then on top of that, if God really started moving, we felt the time issue, you know, that we needed to get done and get out and get on with it. And aren't you glad to be here where we just relax? It's kind of like a retreat, where we can just come and not worry about time constraints and tattoo conventions. Can you say amen? Oh, yeah, you should have been at Embassy Suite during the tattoo convention, because it brought in that doesn't mean that everybody's got a tattoo is a bad person, but it just meant there are a lot of, you know, kind of, we saw some weird things at the tattoo convention. Let's just put it that way, amen? And body piercing and all of that kind of stuff. But God is so very, very good to us to allow us to be here. And just a faithful few has kind of established this outpost on this side of town for the Lord. And we're praying for this community. And the more I read about revival and you're praying for the Lord to move, when God is everywhere, when God is moving on hearts that we haven't even contacted, contacted or had anything personally to try to woo them. And God moves on hearts and communities and cities for salvation. It is a tremendous, powerful thing. Prayer brings all of that about. And God responds to prayer. One of the greatest prayers you can ever pray, assured of an answer, is praying that we might see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's when I go on the air to make a radio broadcast. I know that Jesus' blood has a claim on every lost person that hears that broadcast. Whether they respond to Him or not, He has bought them and paid for them. Can you say amen? He doesn't pay the price when you decide to get saved. He paid the price for all people, for all time at the cross. Amen. So I plead the blood of Jesus and its claims on the lost that the Holy Spirit might actively pursue them for Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "How shall they believe upon Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall He go except He be sent?" Can you say amen? Now I want everyone to just wait just a minute. I want you to stop and close your eyes just for a moment. I want you to quit thinking about anything but souls just for one moment, one holy moment. I want you to quit thinking about what's bothering you. I want you to quit thinking about what's distracting you. I do not want to speak into the air this morning about precious souls. Amen. The lack of focus on harvest field is why those fields are not harvested. Jesus said, you say, there's 4 months. You look at the natural season for harvesting the grains. And you say, you know, there's 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Sometime in the future, it'll be harvest time. But I say unto you, raise your eyes. Get it off yourself, your circumstance, and look upon the fields, for they are white unto harvest. When the wheat begins to look white in the top of those wheat fields, it means the harvest is becoming overripe. And it means you get it then or you lose it, period. To lose a wheat field would be devastating to a farmer. There is no word to aptly describe what losing souls that could have been reached, the cost of that. All because eyes are not raised and focus is not kept on the lost people around us daily. Most people's lives are self-consuming lives. I found out if I will look upon the fields, God will take care of my life. I don't have to think about what I shall eat, drink, be clothed. If I put His kingdom first and His righteousness, amen? They that turn many away from sin into God will shine as the firmament. I can increase you, saith the Lord, not just with people, but with precious souls. I can increase you, saith the Lord, with those that don't know me, but will come to know me. But you must raise your eyes and look upon the fields, and you must see what I see, saith the Spirit of God. Before we receive this offering, I want us to stand and I want us to pray. If we lose an evangelistic vision, we won't increase. We'll do good just to hold our own here. And I don't want to increase just so I can be in full-time ministry, just so I can spend my latter years without having all these schedules and pressing things. I feel like I'd do so much more for God if there wasn't for the time constraints and energy constraints on my life and ministry. But that's not what I'm concerned about. If I work till I'm 70, right where I'm working, and I listen, it's not about that. It's about them, and it's about Him. It's about people that need Jesus. I used to love to hear, remember when Pauline would sing, "People need the Lord. In a world with broken dreams, people need the Lord. And they don't even know they need Him. But when real revival comes, there is an awareness of God in communities, in people in activities, people in bars begin to sense God and tremble at the thought of meeting Him, amen, without being ready. And I believe we need to pray for a focused vision on souls. Everyone in here, I've been extraordinarily blessed. I'm not standing in some poor old me line wondering if the Lord has any breadcrumbs for me. Can you say amen? You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with getting in a line somewhere, but I'm just glad I'm not having to drive 800 miles and stand in a line this morning.
Yeah, Lord.
I'm glad I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep what I've committed unto Him again. And I'm glad where two or more gather in His name, He said, there am I in the midst of them. And I want to be able to receive from the God who is in the midst, not just God who is in the man or the woman. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The next great revival, I say this before the offering, under the anointing, before we pray, the next great revival will be an authentic revival. You say the others weren't? Honey, if the preacher fails after 6 weeks, amen, and everybody is scattered and the sheep are scattered, and listen to me, and there's no souls coming to know Jesus, no lasting move of the Spirit, that wasn't God's revival. God's bigger than that, and God is better than that. Somebody say amen. I'm not being critical, I'm being factual. When God Almighty moves, there's not just a little gold dust sprinkled around. Hello? I'm not looking for gold dust in your hair or in your teeth. Amen? God fills your teeth and don't fill your soul. We still haven't had a revival. If God heals your body, but your heart isn't changed, we have not had a revival. 10 lepers got healed. One of them got made whole. Can you say amen? His spirit, soul, and body. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, we want to see it happen. I believe we're here for it. I believe it is coming. I believe it took the shaking that we're experiencing economically in America to begin to get people to realize what's really important in their life. And I believe the message out there that is counterproductive to a true, authentic revival, I believe that message is being shown up for what it is. Can you say amen? We're preaching get rich in the worst economic condition that we've ever had in America. And we don't have people weeping over harvest fields. And look what it's cost us in this country. We've bowed to the gods of silver and gold instead of the God of grace and mercy. And I want you to get your mind off yourself this morning. Get your mind on Him and them. Everybody say, this service is for Him and them. Oh, but here's the good news. If you exalt Him and you have compassion on them, there's going to be a flow of the Spirit to you and through you. Amen. From Him for them. Everybody say, from Him for them. That's why the Holy Spirit was given, from Him. It was for them, wasn't it? It wasn't a toy to play with, but a tool to work with. And you will receive power after what the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall assemble together and have great spiritual experiences. You shall come to the upper room week after week and enjoy all of those wonderful knowings. You shall be witnesses unto me in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. It was from Him for them. Can you say amen? Everybody say, from Him for them. Can you say amen? I found out the Holy Ghost is from Him for them. And the reason I stay full is not because I'm seeking to be filled over and over again. It's because every opportunity I have at work, every time I have an opportunity to open my mouth and glorify God, I open my mouth and glorify God. And what I have from Him flows out to them. Can you say amen? Out of your belly, not just contained in there and taking in more, but out of. Everybody say out of. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Where did it get in your belly from? From Him. Can you say amen? Well, where's it flowing to? It's flowing to them. Is it flowing in again once you have it? No, it's flowing out. It's springing up. And flowing. Everybody say springing up. And flowing out. Can you say amen? See, we're wanting something to flow in. It's already in. God said, it ain't time for more to flow in. The well is in you. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everybody say it again. From Him. For them. Praise God. You ask God to make you a witness. You be instant in season, out of season. And what's in you is going to start flowing, springing up and flowing out. You can't help but be revived when that happens. Hallelujah. I get excited when God sets up divine appointments and I feel, amen, that I have from Him flowing out to them. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise in this room. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 10,000 people will go into a building to get something else put in them. Oh, that 10,000 people would walk out of that building with something that can flow out of them. Such as I have, give I thee. Amen? Praise God. That's how they stayed revived, because the water wasn't still water. It was always gushing, running water. It didn't become stagnant. It was always running. You want to find pure water, find running water. Can you say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. I said it before, business as usual at church. The greatest hindrance to revival in America or anywhere else. Amen. But when everything changes at church, amen, things begin to change around us. God can change things. And we don't have a business as usual church. You never know what I'm going to do. I don't even know what I'm going to do till I, amen, start doing it. Praise God. Start out one way and end up another. But God knows what I'm going to do, and I look to Him today. But if God can stir us up this morning and realize what we have from Him is for them. Amen. The works that I do shall you do. Amen. The Son of Man didn't come to be ministered to, He said, but He came to minister. Can you say amen? I must be about my Father's work and finish my Father's business and finish His work. And I have meat that you don't know nothing of. What's energizing me from Him, amen, because I'm concerned about them, is flowing in me right now, energizing me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send laborers into the field. For the harvest is what? Plenteous. How many know there's plenty of lost people that need saving? It's always a big harvest. But the problem with reaping that harvest is simply the laborers, the people who understand why we've been filled with the Spirit, are very, very few. You can go to conventions and find tens of thousands of people trying to get a touch from God, but you can't find them in the harvest field winning souls to Christ. Amen? I want to be in the field. Maybe that's why the Lord has me, since I'm going to be working anyway, has me where I am. I'm in a harvest field. Praise God. I led one young lady to Christ by the dumpster. Wow. Taking out the trash and a young lady standing there weeping because she went to an Assembly of God church the Sunday previous and felt the tug of God and didn't go and wondered if God would give her a second chance. And I told her, God will save you right here. You don't have to be in church to get saved. If God's tugging at your heart, you can pray right now. And she began to cry out to God by the dumpster. And tears streaming down her cheek. And I thought, dear Lord, a temporary. She only came to work there one day. You know why? Because God wanted me to end up taking out my trash when she took out her trash. Divine appointment. And who would she meet at the dumpster thinking, I didn't go Sunday, so now God probably don't want me. I should have went. Who did she meet? A minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ telling her that God's right out here. Amen. Right where we are. You can come to Jesus right now. Praise God. Amen. What I have from Him is for them. And when I'm aware that divine appointments could be anywhere at any time, praise the Lord. And we all have been given the ministry of what? Reconciliation. God says, I gave my Son so that they could be saved. And I'm sending you. hallelujah, as my ministers, not just pulpit ministers. I'm so glad I don't just preach to the choir every Sunday. Not just to say, but my life is counting. And I feel God brooding through His Spirit. What a mighty revival the Lord wants to send to America. And what a mighty change He wants to bring in our life. Oh, if you want healing today, don't ask Him to heal you so you can watch the plasma without pain. Can you say amen? Ask Him to heal you so you can be about your Father's business. Praise the Lord. Ask Him for health so that you can do the works that He did. Amen? What might, listen, when we hear the works of God, we think of things that will bring attention to us as being mighty in faith. We don't think of Jesus washing people's feet. We don't think of the works of God being Jesus taking, preaching the gospel to the poor. We think of it as Jesus laying hands on people, the things that put the spotlight on us. The works of God go far beyond the gifts of the Spirit, amen, to a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, amen, a prophecy, a preaching. The works of God involve loving people, caring for people, being compassionate upon people. What must we do that we might what? Work miracles like you did. So everybody say, wow, look at them. No, that we might work the works of God. I must be about my Father's business and finish His work. What was the work of God at Jacob's well? To encounter a woman who needed to be saved and to forget about himself and minister to her. Amen. Everybody that walks into a harvest field and gets the vision is working the works of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to stand on platforms and just prophesy to people so everybody run to us and buy our books and tapes. Is that the works of God? Is that the sum total of what God sent Jesus to do? Amen. When they saw him as nothing as a healer, amen, he rejected that wholesale. He did not want to just be titled as a miracle-working healer. He came to seek and he came to save that which was lost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What must we do that we work the works of God? Believe upon him whom he has sent. Because once you believe on Jesus, you're qualified to have the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Praise God. Hallelujah. What must we do? I just want to catch this today. Don't miss it. What happens to this ministry in the weeks and months to come is determined on the decisions we make in services when the Lord says, raise your eyes and look on those fields. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I am mighty to save, saith the Lord. Is there anything too hard for your God? And will I not move if you will pray according to my will? And will I not bless you, saith the Lord, with strength? Will I not give you that you need to work for me? I will not withhold any good thing from you. Enter into the great harvest of this last day, saith the Lord. Yea, for I have given you the Holy Spirit, and He is ready to flow out of your belly to a lost and dying world, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bless this offering. We're chomping at the bits this morning. Lord, we want to get involved in what your Spirit is already moving toward. In the name of Jesus, Father, we praise you today for the privilege, Lord, of entering into your labors and entering into your work upon the earth. And we pray right now that the forces of hell would be pushed back, and those that have been bound and blinded by Satan, that those that even sit in man in great darkness will see the great light of your love and salvation in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Will you pass that plate? And thank you for your giving. I'm looking for a good year because the Lord is centering us, amen, upon what we're here to accomplish and here to do. I'm blessed every Sunday when I come here. Amen. But I'm more blessed when I can be a blessing to somebody. Amen. When I feel God flowing through me, it excites me. When people ask me questions and I'm able to feel the Spirit of God coming up on the inside of me, it excites my soul. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to be about my Father's business. I want to finish His work. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, we're from the Pentecostal ilk. So we see the works of God as these mighty miracles. We don't see the ministry of Jesus, especially to the lost. Amen. He stood on a hill overlooking a city, and he saw people differently than we look at people. Amen. He saw the people running to and fro as he looked over that city, going about their daily affairs, oblivious to the fact that they were headed for eternity. Amen. Without God. Lost without God forever. Not just lost. See, today we don't even talk about hell very much. We just talk about being separated from God. Can you say amen? Jesus talked about hell more than heaven. You want to take the time to look up the scriptures, categorize them in the Bible. Jesus talked about hell more than heaven. Preachers today talk about heaven and don't even mention hell. We talk about being separated from God, but we don't talk about going to a place of eternal punishment. Hello? It's not what people want to hear. And if we don't tell people what they want to hear, well, we're not going to have them coming and supporting and giving and all the things we need to be successful. I believe everybody needs to hear about the alternative to heaven. Everybody. They deserve to hear it. Where do we get off choosing what we will preach from God's word? And where do we get off saying we will preach this that Jesus said, but we don't talk about that Jesus said because people are not responsive? What's happened with the experiment of seeker-friendly churches, finding out what people want and giving it to them, is one of the leaders of it, one of the first proponents of it, has went on record as saying it's not working. We got loads of people in church. And we built mega churches with loads of people. Because after all, you've got, as one man said, in a mini mega church, you know, only about 7,000 people. You know, not one of the big ones, one of the moderate. And believe me, now don't get me wrong. I would love to preach the message I'm about to bring you and in the process of bringing you to 10,000 people this morning. Amen. I would love to walk into a mega church situation and get 10,000 people fired up for Jesus and turned out onto the streets of the city with a witness for Christ. Amen. But 10,000 people that walk out of a building and blend in with society and are no witness for Jesus. Amen. I've worked with deacons. I've worked with lay ministers. I've worked with people down through the years when I worked for Tampa Electric, and you know, I was in full-time ministry for over 25 years, but prior to that, I was ministering, worked for Tampa Electric. I worked with people on pulpit committees. So I rubbed shoulders with people that held offices in church. And I remember one man in particular. He was in a large church in Tampa, well-established church in Tampa. He was the head deacon of that church. He was head of the pulpit committee. And when he asked me how long I'd been ministering at that time, I think it had been about 20 years in the ministry. Now it's 35 years at the same church. Everybody said, glory to God. We don't change ministers. You know, we just keep the same old one year after year after year. God sent me to Tampa, and I'm where I'm supposed to be. Amen. So he was just aghast that I had been in a church for 20 years. He said, our pastor's been with us for 10 years. Said, that's the longest any minister has ever been in our church, in the history of our church. He said, but the offerings are still up. Didn't say anything about souls, the word of God, the preaching, the impact of the ministry on people's lives. He said, but the offerings are still up. The budget is still being met. And we all know that that's the bottom line. Isn't that incredible to hear from someone that's about the Father's business? Do you believe the bottom line is just somehow pleasing the people so that and keeping the people together and keeping the funds flowing in? Is that the bottom line? A lot of people believe that in ministry, that that's the bottom line. In other words, the day the offering dips, he's out of here. Because the bottom line is the budget being met. I sat at a pastor's convention, and ministers all over the place, and it wasn't a full convention, it was actually a meeting here of ministers, and I sat with them, and we were having a meal together. I sat at a round table with about six other ministers. And I'm sitting there, and I don't know any of them, so I can't enter into their conversation, but I can't help but hear it. You're sitting right at the table with them. And one man who knew another man said, "Well, how's your building program going?" He said, "Well, it's going well. We've already got the foundation laid, and the walls are going up next week." He said, "But we have got to get back out in our community. We've got to canvass our community. Because we need at least 25 more families in our church to meet our budget with this new building program." Now, what motivated and stimulated them to go out and try to get people in church was the need to meet a budget. Because after all, isn't that the bottom line? Can you imagine when that becomes... So I'm hearing it again. When that becomes the bottom line, we have no vision for souls. I witnessed to a man. I used to go to the Naturite gym in Tampa. And Stan Morey was the biology teacher at King High School. And he had a doctor's degree in physiology. And he's a pretty intelligent guy. And he had come up through a strict religious system. And his grandmother, he had seen his grandmother, who he felt was such a godly woman, do what she felt was penance. And she did something, I forget what it was, but it just soured him on religion. What the demand of that religious movement had placed upon her to try to be righteous. And she was such a wonderful woman. It soured him. So I encouraged him. I would come in and I would encourage him, amen, to go to a Protestant church and try it out. Come to our church. Go to some church in your community. But hear the Bible taught and the love of God taught. And I could tell God was dealing with him because he wanted to talk about it, even the bad stuff. So he finally, after several months of me attending the gym, and he knows that I was a minister, they called me Preacher Bob at that gym. Amen. And I'm instead of Rev. Preacher Bob. So after a while, he came back near Christmas. He had went to church in the Christmas season. He went to a large church in Temple Terrace, a large Protestant church, Bible teaching church. And the day after his visit and a visitor's card, two men came to visit him from the church. They wanted to invite him not to Christ, but to join the church. Since they found out he was a business owner, they wanted him to begin immediately to tithe his business into the church. No one talked to him about his eternal, immortal soul. The morning he attended, they were in the midst of a building program. And they were asking for pledges and spent most of the service receiving pledges to build not the church that they already had, but to build whatever else they needed, a family, entertainment complex or whatever it is. Which is nothing wrong with that, but you don't spend your Sunday morning service building that. Can you say amen? Because that's all about us. And all the seed that God through me had sown in him, the devil was just digging it up by the shovelful. And he said, and he got teary-eyed. He was angry, but he was broken at the same time. And he said, "So I just sat down with my kids Christmas morning. And I opened the Bible. until I found the Christmas story. And I sat there on the floor in the living room and read it to them. And I told him, I said, you keep opening that Bible. I said, churches fail. Ministers fail. But Jesus is who you need to get your eyes on. Keep opening that Bible because it's going to talk to you about Him. Can you say amen? Everybody say about Him. Isn't it all about Him? You know what he needed to hear when he walked into that church on Sunday morning? He needed to hear Jesus exalted. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, those people didn't need to be focused on that building. If that's necessary to the harvest, fine. If it's if you want it for the church, fine. But not at the expense of that Sunday morning service. I made a deal with God when I'd seen so much of that when I got into ministry. My pastor, they starved him. We barely made it. We skimped. I mean, 1 week would have put us in a deep hole. It was just, we were week to week. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, every penny, everything was allotted for. I mean, every little thing. I remember when we first got married, I saw people buying stuff for their dogs that we couldn't buy for ourselves. And I thought, dear Lord in heaven, that dog is getting ground chuck. I'm getting the fattiest hamburger they got, the cheapest roll of it they got back there. They're getting ground chuck, and not only that, but for old Fifi, they're putting turkey gravy on ground chuck. And I thought, Lord have mercy, we're not eating no ground chuck, are we? No, we're not. Anyway, the Lord is still good, and I got rid of my dog envy, and we made it through that tough time. Amen. But I remember taking groceries to our minister, and there's a lot of people in church. But in Pentecostal, it was all where I can get my soul fed. It's not where I can flow to others. It's where I can get the richest blessing, where I can be called out, where I can be prophesied over, where I can be ministered to, and it just keeps flowing in. Everything is flowing in, and it's all right to flow in if we go out of here and pour out. God fills us for a purpose, to go out of here and pour out. The idea of being filled with the Spirit isn't to be containing more and more of the Spirit. Amen. It is to be equipped to be His witnesses and witnesses unto Him in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Can you say amen? That means wherever we go, God is able to flow in that area. Amen. And you can go places that national evangelists can't go. I'm going to tell you something about the lost, because I used to be. How many were lost before you got saved? How many listened to Christian television, to all the preachers on Christian television? Well, there wasn't any much. But when Oral Roberts came on Sunday, I did not stop what I was doing to sit down and listen to Oral Roberts convict me of my sin. Amen? I didn't want to be convicted of sin. My uncle was a minister of the gospel. He come through the door. I went out the other door. I'd see him coming through one door of my grandma's house. You could hear that screen door slam. He'd say, where's Bobby? And I'm outside. I'm just anywhere but where he is. And he never once bothered me or beleaguered me or badgered me. It was the fact that he reminded me that I needed to get right with God. Just him being around reminded me. But all my flaky friends didn't remind me of that. So I hung with my flaky friends. Everybody say his flaky friends. Don't say yours. They might hear the tape and recognize your voice anyway. And my friends were flaky. Sinners are flaky. Without God and without hope in this present world. Amen? In Pentecostalism, there's a selfish aspect to it. The selfish aspect, and that's why so many people prey upon Pentecostals, is I want more for me. I want to lavish it all on me. It's all about me. Amen? It's all about getting blessed, not being a blessing. When you come to Jesus, it all changes. The Son of God didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. And the reason that people that have been filled with the Spirit and become stagnant is because we were filled so that we could flow. Out, once the Holy Ghost was given, What happens next? What is the next thing? More of the same? Replicating the same experience? No. Amen. Where does God want to go with that river? Out of your belly. Everybody say, out of my belly. Shall flow. Everybody say, flow. That means a consistent, amen, flowing out of our life into the lives of others. God wants us to interact with people, amen, and in that interaction, amen, for the Spirit of God to be able to flow through us to them. Everybody say it again, it's from Him and it's for them. Can you say amen? That's how this thing is supposed to work. If it doesn't work that way, it doesn't work at all. Amen. We are filled with the Spirit, and everywhere that is written in your Bible, it reads, filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. What happens if the Holy Spirit is controlling you and you're exposed to a situation where you can share your testimony, or you can share the testimony of Christ? What's going to happen if the Spirit is in control? Holy Spirit. He's going to flow. Say it with me. He's going to flow. Amen. What happens if we're just self-centered? What we have from Him is not for them. We don't become pitchers that God can pour through, fill and pour out. We become vases. God's vases, God's receptacles. People get a touch, they want more of the same. I know people that don't win anybody to God in 365 days. But they've been in 50 lines to get more blessing. Amen? Have you ever wondered about that? How desperate we are to feel God's touch, and how not desperate we are to reach people for Jesus Christ? And wonder why there's not revival? Revival begins not when you just get blessed. So every listen, the meat that the world knows nothing of, many Christians don't even know about it. How do you know? Because of the energy level and the enthusiasm level. If God don't come down and just bowl some of us over, the energy and enthusiasm level is just flatlined. Everybody in here say weary. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, it said Jesus was weary. Everybody say, bone tired. Bone tired. Has anybody in here ever become weary? You can get weary in well-doing if you're not doing it for the right reasons. Amen? The Bible said don't be weary in what? Well-doing. Well, what is well-doing anyway? Men shall see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's how you become the light to this world. Amen. Man loves to look on the outward appearance. If they don't see something on the outside, they don't know what's on the inside. Amen. God knows your heart. You say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, He's the only one that does. Nobody else does. And they're not going to know it until what's in your heart begins to transfer and translate into your life. Amen. So here's Jesus at Jacob's well, and He's bone tired. And He says, I'm going to rest in the shade of this well. Go get us something to eat. I am so glad that God came down into a body like ours and experienced something that God Almighty had never experiened. He knows all things, but He didn't experience everything till He got in one of these things. And boy, when He got in one of these things, He knows even better how to help you and me. Because we don't have a high priest now that can't be touched personally, deeply, with the feeling of our infirmities and weaknesses. Isn't that good to know?
Yes, it is.
Isn't it good when you're weary to know He got weary? But you don't stay weary and dreary. Can you say amen? He became weary. No, but listen, He wasn't weary in well-doing. In fact, the well-doing was going to counteract His weariness in His body. That didn't mean He didn't need to eat and rest later on. But He said there's something that will energize you more than a double cheeseburger with French fries and a milkshake. Can you say amen? 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 Well, what in the world was it anyway? Amen? He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He has anointed me Amen. He mentioned the opening of the eyes of the blind, and we immediately think of the healing of the sick. The eyes of the blind that Jesus was anointed to open wasn't the blind Bartimaeus' eye. It wasn't the natural eye. Amen. The God of this world is what? Blinded what? The minds of men. Lest they would what? See the glory of the gospel and be saved. What did Jesus, what was he anointed to do? To open the blinded eye. Which eye was most important to be opened? The eye of a man who couldn't see physically, or the eye of a man who is blind spiritually and is going headlong into destruction and eternal damnation? Do you understand what I'm saying? We're so body, earthly, material oriented. It was a short leap from where we were just getting experientially to what we're into now, a complete materialistic, self-indulgent gospel. Nobody leaving the beauty and the of riches and all of that to go to Darfur and minister to people who can't give you anything but their gratitude. None of the big shots will go there and commit a year of their life. Why? Because they didn't get in it to sacrifice for the sake of souls. They're not going to give up all of the things that people are grasping for. Amen? Amen? Nobody ever gets that call but people that have a kingdom view and understand the worth of a human soul. Amen? We get self-consumed, and there's where most of your mental pressure comes from, because it's all about me. It's all about you. I've got a family member that's all so wrapped up in themselves. All of their pressure comes in thinking about how they feel at any given time. There's always an analyzing of I can start to tell an experience and be cut off midstream because there's no interchange. Because then someone, I get 5 minutes, somebody else gets 55. Can you say, man, by the time it's over, I just feel myself like a candle melting. I'm melting. They said, Lord, what must we do that we might work the works of God? The many Pentecostals hear that. We think of gifts that will give us notoriety, that will exalt us among people. Amen. That we will have all the 9 gifts working. That's the works of God. Jesus did more. He loved people. He cared for people. Can you say, man, he didn't just work miracles. He didn't just want to be known as a miracle worker. He came to seek. He came to save. The Spirit of the Lord God, he said, when he began his ministry, is upon me, for he hath anointed me to what? He hath anointed me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Sin will leave a deadly bruise, Jesus, and it will bind people in a prison. Amen. But Jesus said, I've come to set those bruised people free from that prison house. And I have come to open the eyes of the blind. And don't immediately start thinking about Bartimaeus. The God of this world has blinded the minds of men. Jesus came as the light of the world. And when you got saved, the Bible speaks of you as being illuminated. Can you say amen? After you were illuminated. Unless you become as a little child, you can't see the kingdom of God. But if you humble yourself before him, amen, he will illuminate you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's another scripture we pull out of the context of healing, the eternal and the everlasting. And that's with his stripes we are healed. The healing scripture is not in verse 5. The healing scripture is in verse 4. Thank you for the hearty amens. You know what Matthew quoted out of that when Jesus was healing the sick? Verse 4, Isaiah 53, 4. He didn't mention Isaiah 53, 5 when Jesus was healing people. Verse 4 said, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You know what the word griefs and sorrows means? Sickness and disease in the Hebrew tongue. Thank you for the hearty amens. Oh, I'm not preaching healing. I'm just preaching it in its context. But I'm telling you, the healing in verse 5 is not for the body. It was for something greater than the body. The body is going to finally deteriorate. Have you looked in a mirror lately? Have you looked in a picture album? How many have a picture of you 20 years ago? Wave at me if there's anyone in here got a picture of you 20 years ago. Have you changed? Is there any difference at all? For Rizzle, you've changed. You don't look like you did 20 years ago. Not even you. How old were you 20 years ago? 11. Have you changed just a little bit? Yeah, I think so. I think so. You're still young, though, but you're not 11 anymore. And you're changing. Just wait 20 years from now. Oh, yes. You'll really change. Hallelujah. Amen. Someone said if you're going with a young woman, look at her grandma and you'll know what you're going to live with if you really stay married. I got a good-looking grandma. Her mama's a pretty lady. Amen. So much is just about the body that when we see healing, we think of body. We don't think of the healing that is eternal, the healing of the soul. Isaiah 53:4, listen, I was healed of cancer. I preach healing. I believe in healing. I lay hands on the sick and I've seen people healed. But I don't want to lose the perspective of the eternal while praying for the sick bodies. There are people that I'm praying for now that their bodies will be healed, but primarily I'm praying that their soul, their eternal spirit. Come on. Come on. Amen. Listen, there's going to be two resurrections. Everybody's going to live forever. The idea that only Christians are going to be resurrected and live somewhere forever is a bogus, phony, unbiblical idea. Amen. Everybody's going to be raised from the dead. There's a resurrection of the righteous and there's a resurrection of the unrighteous. Everybody's going to be judged by Christ. Amen. There's the judgment seat of Jesus for the righteous, not to determine whether you go to heaven or not, but to determine your reward or whether you're ashamed in His presence. And there's the great white throne judgment where all the dead that have ever lived and died since Adam, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, must stand before a God whose Christ they have rejected and accept His judication. And everyone whose name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what we don't preach anymore. Because it makes people uncomfortable. It was designed to make people uncomfortable. God did not want people headed there to be comfortable with that. When the Holy Spirit comes, what will He do concerning the world? Convict them of sin. Amen? Jesus said that will be His ministry. Conviction is not comfortable. When it came on me, it bothered me deeply. It messed up my party mindset. It reminded me that I'm headed somewhere forever. Amen. And at night, when I was by myself coming home in the wee hours from work, I was reminded that my life would be accountable to God one day. And I didn't like that feeling, and I was into rock and roll. Who wasn't? I would turn up the radio in the rock and roll station just to try to kill those thoughts about God and eternity and judgment to come. Because the churches that I had been exposed to as a child preached heaven sweet and hell hot. Can you say amen? Somebody say heaven sweet and hell hot. Today, if you mention hell, you're labeled and categorized a fire and brimstone preacher. Honey, the first fire and brimstone preacher wasn't some old-fashioned, out-of-touch fundamentalist. The first fire and brimstone preacher was Jesus Christ. The term didn't come from Pentecostal extremism. It came from the words of the one that we will face as judge. Now, the only issue is, do you want to spend eternity with God in heaven or be separated from God. We don't mention the H word or the S word. And because of it, Christians have become kind of nonchalant about the awful plight of the lost. The awful future of the lost. Paul was stimulated, motivated to reach people for Christ. He said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why when he witnessed to King Agrippa, Agrippa shook. Can you say amen? Or governor. He trembled. Why did he tremble? Why did Paul's witness shake him? Because he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and hear it, judgment to come. Can you say amen? You want to know what Paul preached? Amen. He preached, you need to get right with God. You've got to be right with God to stand before Him. And you've got to have a life that is not controlled by sin. Can you say amen? Temperance means self-control. None of us can control ourselves without the help of the Holy Spirit. But we are not without the help of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! And what else? Judgment to come. You think he was convicted? Well, the Bible said he trembled. He trembled. Felix, rather, the governor. He did witness to King Agrippa too. But it was Felix that trembled. And you know what Felix wanted? He wanted a bribe. When he asked for Paul to come, he didn't ask to be witnessed to or preached to. He wasn't looking for something that would make him tremble. He said he asked to hear Paul, expecting to receive something from him. Literally, that the church would receive an offering and kind of let Paul have it to give to him to get him free from house arrest or whatever he was under at that time. But instead, he got the witness of the gospel. And it shook him. Can you say amen? There are people who have come to altars here that don't tremble. They can go right back out there into sin and not tremble. They sleep well. They party on. Listen, folks. Amen. There's something wrong when the real revival hits. People are going to tremble. Sitting on a bar stool, they're going to start shaking. Somebody's praying for them, and God is going to come upon them. And the prospect of standing before a holy God in sin is going to shake them to the core. And they're going to look for a church where someone is exalting Him. Hallelujah, that they need. They're going to look for reality, and they're going to look for truth. And they'll want to hang out with people that are authentic, not people just like themselves playing the church game. Can you say amen? Come on. This is a good service, whether you know it or not, this morning. Because God, the Holy Spirit, has not changed. He came to convince the world of sin and of righteousness. And that's what exactly everything He came to do is what Paul was preaching. And there was a flow of the Spirit. Can you say amen? Hanaba kushonda daba briti, kishonda daba leti, yonda daba kasanda daba sataya, ikorosha lababa hosonda. But we've got to get out of this self-consumption long enough to say, if I want to be energized by the Holy Spirit, if I want to feel full and flowing again, I need to raise my eyes and look upon the fields. Because that's where the river's headed. That's where the river of God is not going to just keep pouring on us. How many know that we've been, how many know God has come down and poured it on us many Sundays? How many's got your honey bucket turned over many Sundays? Can you say amen? Many Sundays. Amen. It's not what we keep getting. It's what we're ready to go out and give. And if you get in that readiness to go out and give, God is going to set up divine appointments. But you'll miss them if you're always self-consumed. St. Matthew's gospel, he quoted Isaiah 53:4, because you've got to balance the eternal and the spiritual with the temporal and the physical. Healing for the body is temporal and physical. Amen? How many know no matter how many times you get healed, it's appointed unto man once to die? How many know in order for you to die, the body's going to have to fail somewhere? You realize that your body's going to fail somewhere. Amen? I want you to live out your days. I want you to live a full and beautiful life. But the day will come When D.L. Moody was dying, it was time for him to go home. And people were all around his bed doing what we all do. And we were praying for him to stay. And by the way, I'm going to pray for my loved ones to stay just to see how long I can keep them. Can you say amen? There will come a day when God will make an executive decision and override my prayer. But I want him to know that I'm going to be there saying, how long can I keep them? Amen. I know I'm going to see them again in heaven, but they'll be up there and I'll be down here. So how long can I keep them, Lord? I mean, I went to prayer for my daddy when it was flu season. Doctors were overwhelmed. My dad went in for an examination because he was feeling so awful and couldn't hardly breathe. And he was in his 70s then. He's almost 90 now. And he was in his 70s then. And he went in to the doctor's office. The doctor didn't even listen to his lungs to see if there was fluid on him because a particular flu infection was going around. He wrote him the same prescription he'd written for 20 people that came in before him because he assumed they all had the same thing. 3 days later, my dad was in the hospital with double pneumonia. Pneumonia in both lungs, and the pressure, the fluid around the lungs and the heart was creating congestive heart failure. And the doctor came out and told me, we've given him antibiotics, we've done everything we can, we have him on oxygen, but it'd be 24 hours before we know if he will live or die because he's in a terrible weakened state. He should have been in the hospital a week ago. After I got over wanting to go down and whip the doctor, I went to God in prayer. How many know that some doctors, you herd them in and you herd them out? Especially if you're on, if you have to take the doctor that Medicare, Medicaid will provide for you. So I really didn't. I tell you, I was too concerned about my dad to be real angry at the doctor. I thought it was not right that he made a misdiagnosis or didn't diagnose. Wasn't missed, it just wasn't there. But here my dad is in jeopardy. I went out, and I remember going out, and my dad could hardly speak and hardly breathe. And I remember going out in the parking lot, and I was beneath a streetlight. I grabbed my Bible out of my seat, and I opened it up to Psalm 118, and it said, thou shalt not die, but live and glorify me. And I said, oh, Father, I want to keep my daddy. I want to keep my daddy. I know he's a Christian. I know 70 is given to man, and by reason of strength, 80, but I want to keep my daddy. And I read that scripture, and I claimed it for my dad, because that's what God showed me that night. Amen. He came up out of that. Amen. I'll never forget. 24 hours later, not only was he better, he was eating. They give them steak and potato. He was eating from the brink of death, 24 hours later, eating steak and potatoes and rolls. Man, I looked at that steak and said, wow, that looks good. Dad was eating that. 24 hours, that change had come. And I knew God did it. I'm a believer in healing. So I don't want you to get me wrong here today. Amen. But I am a scholar of the scripture, and I want you to know when St. Matthew quoted Isaiah 53, he quoted Isaiah 53:4. When he saw them bringing the sick out of every quarter, St. Matthew said, amen, and Jesus was moved with compassion, and he healed them, that it might be fulfilled, spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Surely he's borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases. Well, what's our healing scripture? What's the one we grab? The one that says the word heal in it. Because when we think of heal, we immediately think of body. And the problem is, that's the problem. The body is temporal. The soul is eternal. And it said, Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. We think of Bartimaeus. We don't think of all the people that are sitting in the darkness of deception. The God of this world has blinded. What eyes are you opening? The eyes of the mind, the eyes of the heart. Flesh and blood does not reveal this unto you, but who? My Father which is in heaven. I want you to understand today, if the Pentecostal movement doesn't just get off the material and the physical, we will never have the spiritual and the eternal. Amen? Thousands of people will flock for the physical and the material this morning. Get your body healed, get all your bills paid. What else could be better? What else does God have on his agenda? He has a harvest field on his agenda. He has the healing of the soul that's going to live forever on his agenda. Who wouldn't line up for fish and loaves and the best wine you ever tasted? And when people only came for that, Jesus turned to them and said, "You only follow me for the fish and loaves." If it wasn't for the miracle that is for your immediate gratification, you wouldn't be here. No one was in it for the kingdom. Why did Judas sell him out? Because he thought he was going to be the treasure when Jesus led the zealots to take back Jerusalem from Rome and declare their independence and autonomy. Why? He spends 3 years with this guy and there's nothing in it for him. He didn't care about nobody's soul. He didn't care about the kingdom of God because it doesn't come with observation. It's not meat and drink. It's not for self-indulgence. Amen? What is meat and drink for? Is that for your soul or for your body? For your body. Your soul don't drink Pepsi. Amen? Or iced tea with lemon. Your soul does not eat bread. Boy, they got some breadsticks at Pizza Hut that are a dirty shame. They're that good. It makes you want to eat all of them and some more. They're good. I love the seasoning on those things. That has nothing to do. Bodily exercise even. Pumping iron, going to the gym, getting buff. It profiteth little. It's the spirit that quickeneth. Or what? Gives real life. Can you say amen? The spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's anointed me to set at liberty those that are bruised. He's anointed me to set the captive free. That's the works of God. That's why the Holy Spirit was given. That's why he came on the day of Pentecost, that we might work the works of God. Can you say amen and be witnesses unto him in Judea, doing what he did, being witnesses unto him? Can you say amen? I've seen so many people that want to continually minister to the church so they can get the applause of people. They don't care about the neighbor across the street or the man at the store or who they work with. I know people that have worked with me that have killed their witness to everybody they work with, but they love to come to the church and preach. How did they kill their witness? Because they're just like them until it's time to go preach somewhere. You can't tell them apart. Wow. And with his stripes, you are healed. In Isaiah 53:5, Matthew would have latched on to that, quoted it perfectly, but Matthew knew in the Hebrew, amen, these two words up in verse 4 was for the healing of the body. The healing in verse 5 was for the soul. Because you're not going to, see, you'd break the continuity, captive free, open the eyes of the blind. When you see opening the eyes of the blind, same thing. He's anointed to open the eyes of the blind. We think of Bartimaeus. Listen, the God of this world has blinded the minds of men. And we're just thinking about the physical miracle of sight. Honey, the greater miracle. And that doesn't do away with the physical one. But the greater miracle is not when a natural eye is open, but when people see their lost condition and see, amen, that Jesus can forgive them their sin and they can be saved. Can you say amen? Amen. When I get on the radio, I know that there are people out there that are spiritually blind. And I know the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I know that if that gospel finds its mark, it's going to open a blind eye. That somewhere the eye of the inward man is going to pop open. And the God of this world, listen, the weapon, though we are in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. This is intercession for souls. Come on, church. Amen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. To what? To the pulling down of strongholds. Where? Amen. Casting down imaginations. This is in the mind. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, this is in the mind. Can you say amen? Bringing every thought, amen, that Satan holds in prison, amen, prison of darkness, bringing every thought into captivity to what? To the obedience of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The weapons, say it with me, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, has nothing to do with the physical or material. Come on, church. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to what? The pulling down of what? Strongholds where Satan holds people in prison houses. Those strongholds can and must come down. And the great revivalists of old knew it wasn't the gifts of the Spirit operating to the church to excite them. It was the power of the Spirit to set that captive free, to let them see. Hallelujah. So they would go, Finney would go into the woods to pray. Because when he groaned for souls, it sounded like a man having a baby. And believe me, if men had babies, it would sound a lot worse than women having them. Oh, yes. Everybody don't do that, but I mean, it's got to be bad. I mean, my wife described it to me, you know, somewhat, and I don't even want to go there. Thank God he made you ladies strong. Can you say amen? Made you ladies able to take the pain. I have deep respect for all the gentle souls in here because you can take more. Us men, we're out there. We're big, brawny men. We're outside working. We got a ball-peen hammer trying to get something loose on the car, hitting that crescent wrench, and we miss and hit our thumb and holler, thank you, Jesus. But that's not enough, you know? That's not enough. We've tore the thumbnail halfway off, and it's spurting blood. And where do we go with it? Where do we go? Do we wrap it up, go take care of it, and somewhere in the evening, my wife said, what happened today? Oh, I hit my thumb with ball peen hammer, ain't nothing. No, we take that old bleeding sucker, and we go running for sympathy. Look what I did to my thumb. Go wrap it up and say, ooh, oh, that's so awful. I was, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good. The weaker vessel, my eye. Now, I'm not talking about bicep. Listen, there's a physical, there's a material, and there is a spiritual and an eternal. And where the church is missing it today, we're so wrapped up. It was just a small jump to the message that's out there today from where we were going. Where we were going is just get my body healed and get myself filled. We never cared about souls that much. We cared, but we didn't have compassion. We were not moved when I came up in church. Everybody was looking. We wasn't committed to our preacher, our minister, to help him win souls. You know what we were committed to? Ourselves and our blessing. Amen. If evangelists come to town, we didn't make our evening church service. We'd see somebody else and we'd feel guilty, but they'd say, well, you know, I just have to get my soul fed. And I thought, we got the Word of God every Sunday. What's wrong with your soul? My soul fed meant call me out and prophesy over me. Because I haven't had that happen at church lately. Amen? Give me a word from the Lord because the Word of the Lord is no longer exciting me. So that's why the Sunday school plan in some churches is bigger than the sanctuary. But in our church, it was hard to get anybody in Sunday school. I had a glorious, when we were running over 100 people, I had 8 in Sunday school for the pastor's Bible class. I had 8. And 2 of them only came for that. They just came for the Bible study. Gave $100 in the offering, in the Sunday school offering. And came for the Bible study and then they left. But they came for the Word of God. Amen? Because that's how you grow. How many people backslid? How many people shipwrecked? That ran, danced, shouted, run, fell out? How many people shipwrecked? How many people backslid? How many people died before their time? Amen? That we considered spiritual. Desire what? The sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. What must I do that I might work the works of God? What do you think of when you think of the works of God? Do you think of Jesus? You think of Jesus at Jacob's well, sharing that would bring eternal life to a soul? Or do you think of Jesus turning the water to wine? Do you think of him laying hands on the sick and then recovering? What comes to mind when you see the word healing in Isaiah 55? What came to my mind for all these years? Healing of the body. wounded for our transgression. That's about sin. And it's healing. Bruised for our iniquity. That's about sin. And it's conquering. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. Why was he beaten and flogged? The wrath of God was being satisfied in him. You don't throw the body in the midst of that. With his stripes we were healed. He uses the word healing for a nation. The false prophets have healed my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. It's not the true, authentic message. And the healing is just, and his own hometown, he said no mighty work could be done there except a few sick folk were healed. A few sick folk were healed is the best thing happening in many Pentecostal circles. Jesus said that wasn't a mighty work. The mighty work is when that woman at the well changed destinies. Can you say amen? Are you getting it this morning? That was the mighty work, wasn't it? The mighty work. Listen, I've been healed of cancer. That's not the mighty work. That was a mighty work, but not the mighty work. He said no mighty work could be done. What's the mighty work? What's the greatest thing God could possibly do in a human life? The salvation of a human soul. Do you throw out healing? Absolutely not. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53:4. He carried our sicknesses. He bore our sicknesses, carried our diseases. And Matthew translated. I think St. Matthew should be a good translator of Isaiah 53. How about you? But what I'm trying to show you that in Pentecostal circuits, we get caught up in the material and the physical at the expense of the spiritual and the eternal. And the day we do, we become self-consumed. We ask amiss, build our faith to ask amiss to do what? To make us soul winners, to help us to have health so that we might minister to people in need. No, we ask for it for self-consuming reasons. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it where? On yourself. What about this consuming on self, this self-indulgence? Amen. Beware lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting drunkenness, the cares of this life. What's wrong with eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage? It brought down Sodom. It brought down Gomorrah. It brought the flood in Noah's day. What's wrong? What did they do that was so terribly bad? Forget about the homosexuality. It's all out of self-love. The rest of it comes. Forget about all the other heinous sins. The single sin was self-love, bringing self-indulgence. Are you listening to me today? This was the sin of thy sister Sodom, the scripture says. And it didn't even mention the heinous sins that it evolved into, but the fundamental sin that brought all the rest of them. Pride. Fullness of bread. Abundance of idleness. And a disregard for the poor and the needy. What is that? That's a life that is self-consumed. Jesus said, go you. Are you getting this today? Am I accurate? Am I telling you what the Bible says? Do you want to hear what the Bible says? Not what you've been taught or what you believe, but what God says for a change. You'll never catch the vision of the fields if you're caught up in the physical and the material, and the devil flat don't care how many people are healed in a meeting. He cares how many people come out of his prison house and are saved. Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It don't bother him that you're going to live 20 more years as long as you spend eternity in the hell that he's going to spend it in. That's why when I went to the healing ministries of old, they didn't do a lot of preaching on healing. There was books on it, healing scriptures, but you know what they preached on? Hell and heaven. I was in A.A. Allen's meeting. He preached God is a killer. That was his sermon. You can get it on tape right now. God is a killer. He talked about the ground opening up and swallowing people up. And you know what happened? Spirit of God fell and people got healed all over that place. Well, how in the world did they do that? I was in Oral Roberts' meeting one time in a tent meeting. A lady gave a testimony of having an out-of-body experience, and she was without God. And the fear and the trembling, the terrible foreboding, the dread that came upon her. And when she cried out to God and she was able to come back into her body and do something different, how it changed her. And I mean, people came to Christ that night and bodies were healed. R.G. Lee won tens of thousands of people to Christ, and he preached a sermon over and over again, payday, someday. And it was about judgment to come, and told people how to flee the wrath of God. Made the cross precious by the fact that there's a hell to escape. The great revivals of old, it said when people came forward in altars, they came differently than they do today. They came under such conviction that they ran as if the flames of hell were licking at their heels, and they were afraid that they might draw their last breath before they got right with God. And when you come to God that way, you don't make these silly deals with Him. Lord, I'll give up this sin, but I'm hanging on to that one. You can have this one. I don't really like it that much, but I'm hanging on to these three. Can you say, man? But I just want the free ticket to heaven, you understand. And today, free ticket to heaven. Listen, churches are shaking. Amen. Mr. Schuller and his son are at odds over some kind of doctrinal problem. Amen. It's good that there's a dialogue out there that some people are saying, I can't go there. I cannot go here. I cannot say that. I cannot stand for this. We have to come back to the Bible, back to what Jesus taught and lived. Not just what He said, but what He did. Yes, how can you follow Him if we don't use Him as the example, not them? Can you say amen? Tony Campola one time was on Channel 22. He hardly got on anywhere because he said if Jesus had $30,000 to invest, this is back when things were cheaper. He said if he had $30,000 to invest, and you think he would get since his mission was to reach the lost and not to do any other make any other statement? Do you think that he would if he had $50,000, do you think he would get a $15,000 12-passenger van? That's back when you get one for 15. Do you think he'd get a 15-passenger van for his disciples and himself to go from city to city if he was here in contemporary times and take the rest of it and use it to help some of these starving people? Or do you think he would get him a $50,000 Cadillac with all the fixings? Well, there's no question what Jesus would do, is there? I mean, he rode into town on a donkey, for heaven's sakes. A man came to our church, said it was a donkey that had never been ridden. God wants you to have a new car that's never been driven. So you don't get it. He came to reject, refute, contradict a kingdom built on self-indulgence. He came as a servant king. But He's not coming back that way. He's coming back on a white horse. Can you say amen with a name on His thigh? King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Amen. But He set us an example. These were kingdoms in conflict. That's why he was born in a manger. That's why He grew up born in Bethlehem in a manger. That's why He grew up in Nazareth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Yeah, they cast lots for His robe, but He only had one. One to His name, and it wasn't shabby, but it wasn't shiny either. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. He came to contradict a kingdom of self-indulgence. You can self-indulge yourself spiritually. I know spiritual groupies that follow evangelists all over the country to get another zap, touch, bang, boom from God. And they don't win nobody to Jesus. They're too busy trying to get more for themselves. Lavishing upon themselves. Honey, I go out of here to pour out. And you know what? Because God knows that I'm going to pour out, He just keeps pouring it in. Can you say, man, as long as I'm pouring it out, what does He do? Oh, say it with a little more enthusiasm. Pour it in. Hallelujah. Out of your belly. Amen. For shall flow rivers of living water springing up. That means they keep flowing. You never give out. You never run dry. Spring. Everybody say artesian well. Everybody say spring up, oh well, within my soul. Amen. God don't have the revival up there. He's put the revival in here. Can you say amen? And when you and I raise our eyes, look on the fields, get involved, amen, and say, Lord, make me a witness. I want to be a testimony. Praise God. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. And when God sets up those appointments and you get involved and one day you come home excited, I was at the grocery store today and I dropped my orange on the floor and a lady there, I saw a lady, she picked it up for me and I saw she had tears in her eyes. I said, ma'am, what's wrong? And she told me her story and I told her about Jesus and I sowed seed and she might get saved Sunday. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It's called meat that you know not of. Jesus was weary at Jacob's well until a woman walked up and he said, woman, give me to drink. And she, being a Syrophoenician woman, which considered outcast, a non-Jew, she was a Gentile, amen, that this man who she figured to be a holy man would even talk to her, let alone make a request of her. She let down the bucket and she's pulling the bucket up. Woman, if you knew who it was that said, give me to drink, you would ask of me and I would give you living water, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of what? What is the living water when you share Christ with somebody else? The testimony of how to be saved, of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say, you would ask of me and I would give you what? Living water. What comes out of you when you're getting it right, out of your belly flows, same thing that was coming out of Jesus. What was it? Living water. I would give you living water. Can you give anybody living water? Out of your belly flows living water. Such as I have, give I thee living water. Can you say, man? Not just the healing of the body, but of the soul. Listen to me. Oh, my God in heaven. What would happen? What would happen? What would happen if living water started flowing, not to us, but through us? What would happen to your life if you realized you were here for more of a purpose? My God, if all it is watch TV and go to bed and go to church and watch TV and go to bed and go to work and go to church, watch TV, go to bed, go to work, go to church, watch TV, and if you retire, you just eliminate the work and just keep the same pattern. Is that what we're going to do till we croak? If you would ask of me, I would give thee living water. Out of your belly shall flow. That's the works of God. That's what Jesus was talking about. Can you say amen? Healing those that were oppressed of the devil is not just those he made sick, but those he took captive in darkness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Doing good, healing those. This woman was oppressed of the devil, but she was about to get set free. Because he was anointed to do that. And when she showed up, that anointing kicked in. Everybody say, when she showed up, the anointing kicked in. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabbi, I tell you. And then she said, sir, give me then this water that I thirst no more. Can you say amen? Don't you think the Holy Spirit began to move? Amen. Amen. She came back into the city. Two people received that day, Jesus and her. Because he gave, he received that day. Can you say, oh, are you listening to me? She went back into a city. Amen. It sparked. Can you imagine this one divine appointment? If he had been just listening to his body, so in tune with his own self and his feelings, he would hardly notice her. He'd just sit there saying, boy, I got an Excedrin headache. And my bunions, we've been walking. While where I left, there was chariots to take us everywhere, pulled by angelic horses. But here I am. I got a blister that you would not believe. Amen. And that woman would come up and say, woman, have you ever seen a blister this big in your life? I've been walking, telling people things that they don't want to hear, and I am so tired. And she'd say, dear Lord in heaven, what a poor, pitiful case he is. Amen. No, amen. He glistened. He gleamed. He came alive. Amen. Because self-indulgence is the killer of seeing the harvest fields. I thought, Lord, what was wrong with Lot's day? They ate, they drank, they married, they gave in marriage. He said, yeah, but they made no provision for the spiritual eternal. Everything was the physical material. Nothing wrong with eating. surfeiting. He's not talking about eating. He's talking about living to eat instead of eating to live. There's a difference. And if you're going to eat to live, you might as well eat something that tastes good. I hope they never develop a pill that you can take that pill and not have to eat anything all day. Because I like the taste of food. I like to crunch it. I want to chew it. I would do no good on liquid diets. You that can get it, I like the crackle of bacon in my mouth. I like the texture of a good old stuffed pork chop. How about you? I like a pork chop. It's been sanctified, believe me. It's not talking about enjoying a good meal. It's talking about living. Everything is for my personal pleasure. That's why we got what we got in the church today. God lives to gratify your self-indulgent attitudes. The fields are secondary to your blessing. They had to widen. I hate to say this, but it's true. Truth will set you free. One of the stadiums in New York, baseball stadium, they had to widen the seats. Some people on airplanes have to get two seats because they can't sit on one. I used to get a Coke that was 6 ounces and feel satisfied. You remember the little 6 ounce Cokes? They're richer and better, I'll tell you right now. The ones you see now are not like them. They put more syrup in them. They were so good. 6 ounces. Now I get a 44-ounce Big Gulp. Amen? And I drink it and say, boy, that didn't last long. I must have put too much ice in that sucker. From 6 to 44. It's so easy to keep going and going and going and going and going. What did they do? So man preaching righteousness, what are they doing? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and building. In and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you do that, and it blinds you to the eternal and the spiritual. So Jesus said, watch out. This is going to be what the whole world is going to be involved in just before I come. As it was in Noah and Lot's day, it's going to be just like that. Beware lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, the cares of this life, that day overtake you as a thief. There's a message you're not hearing in the self-indulgent church, and that is the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Yeah. You're hard-pressed to hear about it, and yet the prophecies are very quickly being fulfilled. This thing's about to be consummated. This whole thing, it's a domino effect, and they're falling. You must raise your eyes and see the fields are white and ready to harvest. And you must work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man shall work, saith the Spirit of God. Thou must sense the urgency. Thou must catch the vision. And then you must lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh. Get the harvest in and get ready for His coming is the message to the church in the 21st century. Everybody said, get the harvest in and get ready for His coming. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. The unpolluted brand. Amen. Is to do what? To help people. This is not for the self-indulgent. Amen. To visit the widows and the fatherless in their affliction. To help the people who really need it in every way that you can. Hallelujah. And to keep yourself unspotted from the world. That means don't let their values and their morals begin to be incorporated into your Christian life. We all want the Holy Spirit to move mightily. But if we're not willing for Him to flow through us, I really don't think we can legitimately ask Him to flow to us anymore. You're going to have to get in that car or van, drive 800 miles, get caught up in a crowd. I've seen people drive many miles and spend a lot of money to get in a meeting somewhere and come back, and they're going to straighten us out and turn us on. Amen. And they'd come back, and 6 weeks later, they're back in the same old patterns of life. They come in just about half. I saw a guy that got into Laughing Revival, you know, and I'm not qualifying or disqualifying. I just know a guy that got involved in it. Amen. And he'd come back, and I'd just say something, and he'd just go off into laughter, and I thought, well, this is good. I haven't seen him laugh in a long time. Maybe this is good for him. Praise God. Maybe he should smile every now and then. That's great. If God can shake him loose, that old barnacle, I mean, that friend of mine, anyway, you know what I'm saying? Get that old barnacle to, you know, scraped off. Maybe he'll be fine. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Just about 6 weeks later, it all changed. After the phenomenon of the spiritual anointing left, there was no fruit. There's a fruit of the Spirit called peace. There's a fruit of the Spirit called joy. Amen. That fruit of the Spirit is not something that just comes on you. It's something that evolves within you. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's something that lasts through the storms of life. The joy of the Lord will outlast the storm. Hallelujah. And it'll strengthen you to go through it. But that touch you get is just a touch. The fruit of the Spirit comes through a process of seed being planted. And the seed is always the Word of God, and the planting place is always the heart. And the proving ground of the fruit is always the life. You can talk all you want to, shout all you want to, talk in tongues or English or French or German. Amen. But it's the life that speaks louder than anything else. Can you say amen? If I go to work beat down, beleaguered, and blue, amen, I'm going to have a hard time convincing someone that living water is going to satisfy every longing of your soul. But if I go in bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing, I'm shouting, since Jesus made. And boy, I have to shelve so much to stay bubbling. There's so many things that can make me blue, bring me down. I have to shelve people and things constantly. I mean, I have to just grab them and say, oh, Lord God. It's like playing hot. You ever played hot potato? Amen. You get a hot potato. Remember, I got to finish this. We've been here a long time. Sean's going to preach quick tonight. I'm going to take a little liberty this morning. Listen, amen. Listen, amen. You put it down underneath the fire, and you let the fire burn. You wrap up the potato, dig a hole in the ground, put it under the fire, build the fire over it. After a while, you pull it out, and it's baked like you can't bake it in a microwave or an oven. Amen. But it's in that aluminum foil, and that sucker is hot. You bring it out, and there's a bunch of people standing around going to eat them potatoes. You throw it to one hot potato, and then because you can't hold on to it. There's things that when it hits me, I just feel like I'm playing hot potato all over again. And I said, Lord, I can't. Oh, this will bring me down. It's yours, Lord. I just got a phone call today. Lord, have mercy. This is a hot potato. It's yours. I just heard something on TV that, oh, man, it brought me down. Lord, this is yours. I give that to you. Praise God. I mean, I have to do it day in and day out, time after time, because when I go to work on Monday, I don't want anything anybody said, anybody did, what happened in America or anywhere else. I don't want to, I want to be able to go in and exalt the mighty name of my great Savior and let them know that living water really exists and is bubbling on the inside of me. Give me half a chance, out of my belly shall flow a river of it. Same thing that Jesus said was going to come out of his. And your thirst for sin, amen, is going to be satisfied with a thirst for righteousness. Hallelujah. This, but righteousness is going to fulfill you, and sin never can. Hallelujah. Come and see a man. Come and see a man. Come and see this man. And the community is being touched with a witness. And when they come back, they look at him and said, did somebody bring him something to eat? There's a big crowd of people gathered. He's preaching like crazy. Has somebody brought? You saw how tired he was, bone weary he was, wore out he was. And he perceived what they were saying and said, I have meat that you know not of, for my meat is to do the will of my Father. Amen. Do the work and to finish his work. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So what's coming up? Something came up on the inside of him, began to pour out through him. And he said, woman, if you ask of me, I'll give you what? What comes out, up, through, and out? God, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. It kept on flowing. Can you say amen? What did God anoint you with? 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 The Holy Spirit. What did He anoint you for? To be witnesses unto Him, to do His works. And if God wants to heal somebody along the way, so be it. But Jesus never wanted to be known as a faith healer. Why? Because you can get a crowd to get their body healed. And He came for a higher purpose than just the healing of the body. That's why He healed me of cancer. He knew I wouldn't just go into a healing ministry, but a ministry to reach souls. And some of you are saved because I didn't just lay hands on the sick. I preached the gospel. Heaven sweet and hell hot. Somebody give Him praise in this room. Woo! Hallelujah! What would happen if we really get turned on to this message and know revival is getting in God's flow, not getting God to flow to us? Everybody say revival. Go to embroider this, have it framed, and put it on your bathroom wall. Revival is getting in God's flow, not getting God to flow to us. Hallelujah. It's not turning the river to us. Amen. It's getting us in the river that's already flowing. Hallelujah. There is a fountain filled with blood flowing from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Why are people asking me about the end time? Why are they inquisitive about the difference in Protestantism and Catholicism? Why are they asking questions? Amen. One man worked with just a little while. And he asked me questions about the Jehovah Witness and the mainline Christian. And I was able to just exalt Jesus, exalt Jesus, exalt Jesus, exalt Jesus, exalt Jesus, exalt Jesus. And if you live your day exalting Jesus, you ain't no ways tired. Only the body is tired. But the inward man, though the outward man what? Perisheth. The inward man is what? Renewed. I have meat that you know not of. Renewed. Renewed is not just you standing in line getting another zap. Renewed is you flowing out and God pouring in. Everybody say me flowing out and God pouring in. Woo! How many are up for flowing out this morning? How many are up for that? See, if you're ready to flow out, God's going to pour in. He don't waste this precious oil. I'm looking for God to pour through me like He's never poured through me because I have a desire to pour out. I call my wife. She says, she don't worry about me having a flat or getting broke. You know, when I'm late, most of the time, if I'm not working overtime, she knows where I'm at. Amen. I'm in the parking lot talking to somebody about Jesus. Why? Because I buttonholed them. I cornered them. No, they'd run from me like the plague because they asked me something.
That's right.
If you don't want to hear a message, don't ask a preacher to a question. And one of these Christians that are wired for God's work, filled with the Spirit for the purpose of reaching others, something from Him for them. Can you say, man? God is going to bring people across your path. You're going to be instant in season, out of season. Praise God, dinner's getting turned on. Praise God, hallelujah. Amen. Were you not turned on last week? Did you not preach to Alice? All right. Just checking. I thought you did. Is there anything left this week? All right. Just checking. All right, keep it up, girl. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Fill us, Lord, that we might flow. Wow. Now, how is this going to work into Holy Communion? There is a fountain filled with blood, the songwriter said, that flows from Emmanuel's vein. See, the blood of Jesus has been shed for every creature on this planet, every living soul. The blood of Jesus has a claim on everybody sitting in that hoochie-coochie bar. Can you say, man, the blood of Jesus has a claim on them in Atlantic City, Las Vegas, amen, San Francisco. The blood of Jesus has a claim. Whether people will come to Christ or not, the blood of Jesus has a claim. It's one of the greatest booms to evangelism there is to understand that the blood has been shed to save those people and the Holy Spirit is actively pursuing them. Everybody say actively pursuing. That's why you came to God, because it wasn't just because I preached. Some of you came under this ministry. It's because the Holy Spirit actively pursued you. And when He comes, what did He do? He convinced you of sin. He convinced you cannot face me in your sinful condition. Simultaneously, as He showed you that negative, He showed you the great positive, the power of the cross, that you could be forgiven, that your sins could be washed away. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And after He saved you, what's the next thing He wants to do with you? To send you. To send us. As my Father sent me, so send I you. Can you say, man? How did He send Him? How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Did God anoint us with the Holy Spirit? Amen. Yes. So we could come back and just keep being re-anointed, 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 and get the rush from being anointed? No. So that we could go out of the upper room and bear witness unto Him. What are the works of God? Go to Jacob's well. Not just the people physically healed, but the people spiritually changed forever. That's what He came to do. Son of God didn't come to be ministered to. He came to minister. If we can get the church out of self-indulgence long enough, we'll begin to look beyond ourselves and see those harvest fields and those opportunities to witness. We won't miss those windows. We'll catch it. We'll catch it. We'll catch it, and God will use us time and time and time again. Are you ready? Are you psyched? Do you understand that I'm a believer in divine healing? I just don't preach healing at the expense of the eternal. And I put it where the Bible puts it in perspective. With His stripes, that deadly wound of sin in your life and mine has been healed. Our radio broadcast this week is the wonderful wounds of Christ. The gospel in the Old Testament is in a chapter in the book of Isaiah that has to be about Jesus. That we're wounded, and this is before communion, means to bore through, to bore through, to bore through. At the time of the writing of Isaiah 53, no one in that culture, in that people, knew anything about this kind of torturous death. The impaling of a human being on a cross with nails was unknown to them. And yet it said He shall be pierced, bore through, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace will be upon Him. And with His stripes we are eternally, spiritually healed from sin's deadly wound. Can you say amen? If we don't catch the eternal and the spiritual, we're going to dwell on the physical and the material. And right now, health, wealth is for the physical and material. A gospel that those two phrases, and God wants to bless you with health. Look what He's done for me. Heal me of cancer. But what am I doing with my health? Am I living a self-consumed life, ever getting but never having enough? No, no. I'm living my life for the eternal reward. Amen? I don't expect to die with a mansion on a hill. So surprise me if you want to. I could take it. But if I don't get surprised, I won't be disappointed. Because I got a mansion in heaven. It's going to outlast anything on any hill here. And not only a mansion, there's some people going to be in heaven. Because I left Tampa Electric and preached the gospel. Well, Brother Venable, you have no retirement. What are you going to do? I'm going to keep preaching the gospel and working as long as my body holds out and doing whatever I can for Jesus at the job and at the church. I feel pretty good about that because I'm not home yet. Praise God. Some of you, some people in here under this ministry, you're going to heaven because I left Tico. Give up retirement. Preach heaven sweet and hell hot on Sunday morning. And when you came in the Holy Church of God, you were convicted. Didn't come for the programs or the prominent minister. But the Holy Ghost touched you. And it ain't over yet. We're here for a purpose. And I want God to come down on this community. I haven't felt the release to go out and canvass it because we're not looking just for bodies to sit in here. Amen. We've seen people come and go. We're looking for God to draw people by His Spirit. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe God's going to come down on this community because there's a lot of people out here. This is a blue-collar community right here. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't have to drive up in your Mercedes to this church. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I've got to tell you, I'm driving my father-in-law's Cadillac today. It's a 96 Cadillac, 96, 13 years old with over 100,000 miles, so don't panic. You don't have to pay for it. It's not even mine. It's just I'd like to drive it, keep it running because we're going to sell it. Amen. But God is so good. I just sat down in that and I thought of Him. You know, I thought of Him, you know, driving His Cadillac, my daddy driving his old Cadillac. Amen. You know what he did? The headliner come out of it. You know what my daddy did? He couldn't find any, you know, nice thumbtacks. The only thing he could find at the dollar store left was those ones you put notes up with, the orange, green push pins. He bought a whole mess of push pins. I'm telling you, and multicolored push pins. So you go sit down in that Cadillac and look up, and there's about 50 push pins holding up the headliner in all various colors. Amen. He might start a new trend. Can you? He just might be a redneck. He's a hillbilly redneck merge is what he is. Hallelujah. Well, amen. A relative of ours bought it, amen, for $425 an hour. They're going to tear out the headliner, put them big wheels on it, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I love the Lord today. He's blessed us with good cars. He's blessed us with good homes. He's blessed us with good clothes. He's blessed us with good bodies. Can you say, man? They still work, don't they? They get our souls around inside of them. Amen. Listen, I believe He's going to take care of all the peripheral stuff. Hallelujah. Even during an economic meltdown. Amen. I didn't have any stocks. So when the stocks go down, it didn't bother me whatsoever. I didn't lose no 401k. I was too busy buying Special K with that money. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What are you going to do in the future? Amen. I'm going to trust my God. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen His seed out begging bread. Can you say amen? God is going to make a way somewhere because I'm about my Father's business. I want to finish His work that He's put me to accomplish before I leave this world. Can you say amen? I stood outdoors at a graveside funeral and felt the Holy Ghost last week. Wow! And if one person in that crowd gives their heart to Christ because they were exposed to the anointing, not just a preacher with a little black book, amen, hallelujah, it'll be worth my whole life for God. I don't know what your day is going to be like tomorrow, but I'm excited about tomorrow. I'm excited because a divine appointment is being set up somewhere. And if it don't happen tomorrow, it'll be happening the next day. But when it happens, I'll be instant in season, out of season, because I have meat that this world don't know anything about. Can you say, man? I'm 62. What's your problem? Amen? Wow. And I want to see it happen here. God's investing in this little church. It's after one. We got to quit, but this is a turning point for us. We're raising our eyes and looking on the fields. Praise God. I want you to enter into the chosen fast. I want you to enter into the chosen fast. There's even a fast that is to indulge one's own ego, but not the fast that I have chosen. The fast that I have chosen is in Isaiah 58. And the blessing of it is that you will no longer be self-indulgent. You will honor me and you will help others. And the benefit is that your health will come forth speedily. among other choice blessings in my kingdom. Blessings that will help you be about my business and finish my work, saith the Spirit of God. Everybody go home, open your Bible to Isaiah 58 and read the chosen path. Is it not to keep from doing your own thing on my day? Set aside a day that's not for self-indulgence. Don't go to the water park on Sunday. Go to church. Go Saturday. Come on. Keep a day holy. Keep it holy. Not because of the law, but because he's worth it. Can you say amen? The church did it, and they did it not because of the law, but because of their reverence for him. Can you say amen? Seek, quit from doing your own thing on my day. That's what he said. Quit from just seeking self-indulgence. Don't think about getting out of church and going to the mall. Think about being in church and giving him the honor that's due his name. Can you say amen? And if you'll deal out your bread to the hungry, everybody say there's no self-indulgence here. This is not a fast of giving up of food, but giving up of self-indulgence. Can you say amen? Dealing out your bread to the hungry. And don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Can you say amen? Your own family that you may need to be ministering to that may be neglected. Take care of that. Can you say amen? And cease to do in your own will and your own thing all the time for your own selfish reasons. Amen. And then your light will break forth as the noonday sun. Can you say amen? And your health shall spring forth speedily. Amen. And the Lord will be your rear guard. Can you say amen? The Lord will watch your back for you and protect you and provide for you. And you'll be like a watered garden who ceases not from yielding its fruit. Can you say amen? Amen. And your pathway will be illuminated with light. Everybody say Isaiah 58. You see where self-indulgence kills all this kingdom stuff. Closes your eyes to the needs of others. And stops the flow of the Holy Spirit within. Revival's right here today, not up there. Yeah. God don't need to send it down. We need to let it loose.
Amen. Amen.
Would you bow your head today? We're going to receive communion. It's been a long service. But I honestly believe what God has for this little church is really so important and vital that there are souls on the line. And that's why he's visiting us. Because if we just go on like we're going, without that happening, we'll never reach them. We'll miss those windows and doors of opportunity because of self-indulgence rather than self-sacrifice. Heavenly Father, I want to see people vibrant again. I want to see the joy of Jesus. We're believers in here. I want to see the joy, the enthusiasm. I want to see the energy back in the prospect of being a witness for you. Life takes its toll on us, and you know how weary we can become. But Lord, when revival comes, the very word means that we're being revived. New life is coming alive. When we witness, there's life in our words. Not just truth, but life itself. And living water that Jesus gave is in all of us to give. Help us to give it so freely, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. Now, everybody that will receive the fact that with his stripes you are healed, amen. Will you prepare yourself for Holy Communion? Sister, will you come? Brother number one, if you will. Did you hear anything, understand anything, get a perspective today?